Yeah, I was just asking Spencer, when did y'all pick out these songs that we just sang? Thursday. Spencer didn't know what I was going to preach on until yesterday. And those songs, I'm just sitting there like, oh my goodness, so there it is. Confirmation. I mean, when the Holy Spirit tells the worship leader, pick these songs, and it perfectly coincides with what the message is going to be, and Spencer and I have not compared notes or talked to each other about this. There you go. Buckle up, guys. I think I'm the one who really needs to buckle up because last night, my partner in crime back there, Harry, sent me an email praying for a big ending for you tomorrow. You know something I don't know, Harry? I am going to be talking about heaven today. Am I going to be there sooner than I was thinking? Yeah, I don't think that's the way he meant it, right? But my wife had and I had a real good chuckle about that. Oh, maybe I'm going to have a big ending today. All right. We'll go out strong behind the pulpit. All right. So anyway, yeah, this is the Last Iron Works 2025. It's been a great year. Glad to see all you guys out here for the last one. We will take a break for the holidays. And per our custom, we will resume with next year's Iron Works in January. So stay tuned for information about all that. But today we have one more message to do, and we're going to finish the book of, or the chapter 11 of Hebrews today. And we are in the last two verses of Hebrews, verses 39 and 40 of chapter 11. But you may have noticed, maybe you didn't notice, but we, throughout this whole year, we started with verse 1 of chapter 11. We're now going to be at the last verse, verse 40. But we skipped three verses along the way. That would have been way back months ago as we progressed through verse by verse. Chapter 11, we never covered verses 13 through 16, and that's because when Harry and I put together the outline before the year ever started, verses 13 and 16 pretty perfectly coincide with verses 39 and 40, so we're putting all those together into today's message. So, if you got your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. If you don't have it, it'll be on the screen. I forgot my Bible this morning. That's the first time that has happened, so I borrowed one that is for us on either side of the room here. And not only did I forget my Bible, I forgot my message. So basically, I forgot my backpack, right? Which would have had my Bible and my message. But Spencer was able to print me out a copy. So there you go. We're all good. So Hebrews chapter 11. So we're going to read 13 through 16, and then 39 and 40. And since this is not my Bible, I have to make sure I'm in the right place. And here we go. Okay, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And then skip down to verse 39. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Okay, let's go ahead and pray one more time. Lord, we thank you for this morning, and I do thank you, Lord, for things like worship songs with lyrics that coincide with the message when me and Spencer have not coordinated anything. So we just know that your spirit, Holy Spirit, your hand is on this morning. It was on the worship. I pray it'll be on the message right now. I pray, Holy Spirit, speak through me, not my words, your words. May you have your way with this message right now in the name of Jesus. Okay, so the title of my message today might ring a bell with some of you, maybe not, we'll get to that. But the title of today's message is Only Visiting This Planet. So surely that rings a bell with someone in here, but I'm not going to ask for anybody to raise your hand. You'll see where I'm going here in just a little bit. But only visiting this planet, that comes from the Jesus movement. So I'm going to take a good bit of time here as we get into the message today, and we're going to review, we're going to talk about the Jesus movement. What was the Jesus movement? If you're not familiar with that, it was that spiritual revival of the 60s and 70s, a movement of the Holy Spirit that saw hippies turn away from drugs and sexual immorality and false religions, turning away from that to Jesus Christ. It was a movement that this church was instrumental in, because all Calvary chapels are the offspring of the Jesus movement. Because how is that? Well, because Calvary Chapel founder Chuck Smith played a key role in the Jesus movement of the 60s and 70s. Chuck welcomed these long-haired, unwashed, barefoot young people into his church. And in fact, his story, the story of Calvary Chapel, is documented in that great movie that hopefully we've all seen by now, The Jesus Revolution, that came out a few years ago. An amazing movie. If you haven't seen that movie, make sure you have some Kleenexes nearby. But that is a powerful movie about the origin and the history of this church and the Jesus movement. Calvary Chapel started a music label that released many recordings. The music of the Jesus movement became known simply as Jesus music. We'll get to that in a minute. Other men, there were many men who had a profound impact during the Jesus movement, but another dude that had a big impact was a guy named Arthur Blessett. He became known worldwide as someone who would carry the cross, literally carry this huge cross. He carried it all across America. He carried it all across highways and byways in other countries of the world. He visited the White House. He's a major figure of the Jesus movement. But before all that, before he started carrying a cross around the world, during the early days of the Jesus movement, held services on California's Sunset Strip in a coffee house he opened up next door to a topless go-go club. And he called the coffee house his place. And he called the gatherings, the services he would have there, he would call them soul sessions. And folks would just wander in from the Sunset Strip to see what were these soul sessions. He would hold these services at midnight or 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. that when everybody was out partying. That's when he would have the services. The doors open, they hear what's going on in there. They go in and they hear him saying things like, "Hey man, you don't need to drop downers. You need to drop a little Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John." In fact, you know what? Let's play a little 2-minute clip. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about.
How many of you have walked in tonight off the Sunset Strip? You've walked into his place. I mean, like you didn't hardly know what it was when you walked in the door. Kind of halfway between a church and a nightclub. You came in, you got a cup of coffee or some Kool-Aid. You sat out and saw a little sign. It said, "Smile, God loves you." and it made you feel a little bad. We began to chew on a Jewish bagel and eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and suddenly you saw people going upstairs, and you walked upstairs yourself, and you saw an open Bible and a little prayer altar and a candle burning. And I mean, when you stood in that upper room, it seemed like that you needed him in your heart. And yet all night tonight you've been listening to the singing. And you've seen the hundreds and hundreds come in and out the doors of his place here on Sunset Strip. Now you sit here in the night at the soul session. And I mean, inside your soul cries out. And you want to cry and say, God, God, I've been trying to turn on every way I can, but every trip's been a bummer for me. It just ain't real. For many of you, you're spaced out tonight on acid. Some of you are high on speed, or you've been smoking grass. Some of you are loaded on downers, or maybe you hit up and you felt the rush of heroin. Or maybe you've tapped a bottle of booze. But let me tell you this, brother. If you really want to get turned on, I mean, man, where the trip's headed, pray to Jesus, and he'll turn you on to the ultimate eternal trip. He'll give you a high that will keep you for eternity. You don't have to drop downers, man. All you got to do is drop a little Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John.
There you go. Can you imagine being out partying on the Sunset Strip in 1968-67, the summer of love? You hear something going on and you walk into that. I mean, people were getting saved all over the place. It was a revival. And what we just heard there was an example of the kind of revival it was. It was a raw, unfiltered, take to the streets, Book of Acts move of God. And these newly saved Christians were called Jesus people, and they got the world's attention. They were a little strange, but as our scripture that we read just a minute ago says, they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And of course, as Christians, we all are called to be strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Like it says in 1 Peter 1:17, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. But the Jesus people, they really looked and acted the part. In fact, I imagine the Jesus people in their appearance and their behavior resembling Elijah or John the Baptist. The Jesus people were Jesus freaks in a good way. It's like that songwriter said, there was a man in the desert with naps on his head. The sand that he walked was also his bed. The words that he spoke made the people assume there wasn't too much left in the upper room. With skin on his back and hair on his face, they thought he was crazed by the locusts he ate. You see, the Pharisees tripped when they heard him speak until the king took the head of this Jesus freak. It's a great song, by the way. Not from the Jesus movement, but the Jesus movement did produce all kinds of great music. And the music was characterized by a pure love and passion for Jesus. It was characterized by an evangelical share the gospel focus, and it was characterized, and this is where we're going to connect the dots here with today's scripture. It was characterized by a great sense of anticipation. Anticipation for Jesus's return. anticipation for a heavenly country. The Jesus people really embraced the reality that this world is not our home. Many of them forsook possessions and lived in Christian communes. One commune, Jesus People USA in Chicago, Illinois, still thrives to this day. And in fact, my family and I used to go to their music festival out in a field 2 hours outside of Chicago that they used to hold every year. We went several times before it shut down in 2012. That was a cornerstone festival, and it was an outreach of a Christian commune that still exists to this day. Now, the caveat there is, the Jesus people, they started communes, they lived in communes, but almost all of them didn't work out. So I'm not up here advocating, let's go join a commune or start a commune, okay? But that's how raw and unfiltered in Book of Acts the whole movement was. And the Jesus people were convinced that Jesus was coming back at any moment. And indeed, I think we are all convinced here that Jesus is coming back at any moment, right? Amen? Right. But remember that every generation in the history of Christianity has thought that Jesus was coming back at any moment, including the very first generation that we read about in the New Testament. Peter, Paul, John, all those guys. I mean, it's in the text. You can just read it. They thought Jesus was coming back in their lifetime. Why? Because that's how the Bible instructs us to live, right? Every Christian in every generation is to live with an expectation of Jesus' imminent return. But I think in our lifetimes, okay, up to this point, it was the 1970s and the Jesus movement that fostered an even higher awareness and expectation of Jesus' return. Why do I say that? Because there was an awareness of this that infiltrated the entire culture. It's how you got Jesus on the cover of Time magazine in the early 70s. It's how you got the smash best-selling book, one of the best-selling books of any kind, secular, Christian, whatever you want to call it, period, best-selling books of the entire decade of the 70s, The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. This idea of Jesus is coming back and you better get ready because he's coming back like in the twinkle of an eye any moment now, that infiltrated the culture, not just Christianity. There was a very heightened awareness of this reality. And this awareness and the Jesus movement is where we got iconic songs such as I Wish We'd All Been Ready, which I'm sure some of you have heard that one by Larry Norman, with that classic chorus that goes, "There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come, but you've been left behind. I wish we'd all been ready." So there was this anticipation. And Christians, especially the Jesus people, strangers and pilgrims on the earth, were seeking a homeland. They had left their country, as it were, behind. They had left behind their fornications, their sexual immoralities, their idolatries, their drunkenness and revelries. They left behind transcendental meditation and Hare Krishna. They left behind the Beatles, who told them all you need is love, and then they broke up. They left all that, and they exchanged all that for a good testimony through faith in their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They were not satisfied with this world, just as we are not to be satisfied with this world. Jesus music pioneer Larry Norman said it well. It's where we get the title of today's message. He said that we are, there's the cover of his 1972 album, Only Visiting This Planet. Released in 1972, it's an all-time classic. Check it out if you've never heard that album. It's on Spotify, Tidal, however you, YouTube, however you listen to music. Look it up. Every song is a classic. And the album ends with these lyrics. What a mess the world is in. I wonder who began it. Don't ask me. I'm only visiting this planet. And as the song fades, Norman quotes that old hymn. He says, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through." That, men, is how we are to live. We are living for the other side. So we've seen this year in Iron Works in Hebrews chapter 11, all the many great examples of the heroes of the faith and the countless saints not mentioned by name in Hebrews chapter 11. And indeed, we've thought of ourselves in this context. We've talked about this, that we should think of ourselves in this context, how we are to live and how we can be counted alongside the great heroes of the faith as men of great faith, servants yielded to the Holy Spirit in us. Remembering that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, so that we will cast off the sin that entangles and we will run the race so as to win the prize. The world was not worthy of them, and the world should not be worthy of us, because the world was not their home and the world is not our home. They and we are just passing through. They and we are only visiting this planet. Hebrews 12, 22 through 24 says, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." Wow, that's what we're coming to. This is our reality. So right now, in this earthly tent, right, we can't see it. We can't hear it. We can't feel it. We can't smell it. But make no mistake, this is our reality. It is our homeland. It is our heavenly country. It is what we are looking for. Hebrews 13, 14 says, "For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for that city which is to come." So, what if the Lord tarries and doesn't come back in our lifetimes? Well, then we will be like every generation that came before us, right? And we will continue to live by faith. And if we continue to live by faith, we will die in faith. It's the verses we read a moment ago. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. These all died in faith. Men, we must die in faith. We must, as Hebrews 10:23 says, hold fast that confession of our hope without wavering. And we must hold on to it until the very end. Need to think about that. Hold on to it until the end. Because our scripture today warns us about this. Warns us not to go back. What did verse 15 say that we just read? And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had an opportunity to return. That's our warning to keep our hand on the plow. Just like Jesus said in Luke 9:62, but Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, thinking about going back, is no one like that is fit for the kingdom of God. We may think about going back, but we must never actually go back, right? And hopefully we're not even thinking about going back. We have to remember that the devil will keep chasing you and keep chasing me until your dying breath and my dying breath. He will never give up doing everything he can to get you and me to compromise, to stumble, and yes, even to go back to our old lifestyle. But remember, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, right? Amen. Charles Spurgeon has a lot to say about our opportunities to return from today's scripture. What does he say? He says, faith that is never tested is not true faith. God does not create useless things. He intends that the faith he gives should have its test. These opportunities to return are meant to try your faith. And they are sent to you to prove that you are a volunteer soldier. By this you shall know whether you are Christ or not. When you have opportunity to return, if you do not return, that shall prove you are his. Then he gives this amazing illustration. Spurgeon says, two men are going along a road and there's a dog behind them. I do not know to which of them that dog belongs, but I shall be able to tell you directly. They're coming to a crossroad. One goes to the right, the other goes to the left. Now, which man does the dog follow? That is his master. So when Christ and the world go together, you cannot tell which you are following, but when there is a separation and Christ goes one way and your interest and your pleasure seem to go the other way, if you can part with the world and keep with Christ, then you are one of his. After this manner, these opportunities to return may serve us a good purpose. They prove our faith while they try our character, thus helping us to see whether we are indeed the Lord's or not. Men, we must be determined to follow Jesus. We must be determined to take up our cross daily and follow Jesus wherever he leads until our dying breath. And I'm really harping on this, I'm really stressing this, because we've all known, or I would guess almost every one of us in here, perhaps every one of us in here, unless you've only been following Christ a very short amount of time, we've all known people who took the opportunity to return and fell away, right? You're thinking of them right now. They were following Jesus, man. They were on fire for Jesus. They are looking for the heavenly country. They're taking up their cross. They are going to finish the race strong. Next thing you know, they fell away. And some of the people you could think of died. And as far as you can tell, they died having rejected Jesus towards the end. How in the world does that happen? We must be determined to follow Jesus. We must not be like those we've known who have fallen away, who, like seeds scattered on stony ground, had no root, or like seeds scattered among thorns, were choked by the cares of this world. Again, we've all known people like this. Spurgeon has one more thought regarding this. He says, opportunities to return. Let me say just one more thing. They are often furnished by the example of others. When any turn from Zion's way, alas, what numbers do. Methinks I hear my Savior say, wilt thou forsake me too? Remember when things got tough? Jesus turned to his crowd of disciples, hundreds. And he started to talk to them how they were going to have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And the Bible says hundreds quit following him right there and then. And that's when Jesus said to him, and then all that stood by after hundreds of people walked off were the apostles. And Jesus looked at them, are you going to leave me too? And I think it was Peter who said, where shall we go, Lord? That's got to be our attitude. No matter how tough things may get. And again, we've talked this year about the sufferings that Christians have had to endure throughout the centuries and the sufferings that many Christians are enduring right now, as I speak, in other countries around the world. What if the going got that tough for some of us? I mean, we think it's an impossibility because we live in this incredible country that still gives us all these freedoms. But what if we face those kinds of trials? Will you forsake me too if the trials got that tough? Or are you going to stick with Jesus no matter what? So finally, as I close, I want to consider our last verses in Hebrews. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. This reminds us of something Jesus said. Matthew 13, 16 and 17. Jesus said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. What did the people that Jesus was speaking to see? They saw Jesus, their Messiah. What did the people that Jesus was speaking to hear? They heard Jesus Christ, their Messiah. The fulfillment, the embodiment of all the prophets had spoken. The fulfillment, the embodiment of all that the righteous had hoped for. The one who that Jesus freak, John the Baptist, pointed to and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. They saw it. And now it's our reality because the mystery has been revealed to every generation of Christians ever since that time. The mystery is revealed to the Apostle Paul, who through revelation gave us so much of the New Testament, all the rest of the scriptures. That's what the prophets, that's what the righteous men were hoping for, but they couldn't see it because the mystery hadn't been revealed. It was revealed when Jesus Christ was walking the earth and he's speaking to us and we're seeing him. Wow. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ, the first and the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. He is calling us to a heavenly country, to a city he has prepared for us. A city with many mansions, with foundations of precious stones, streets of gold, pearly gates, and a river of life as clear as crystal. That is what awaits us. That is what we are living for. That should occupy our thoughts and our minds all the time. And who knows? And hopefully, maybe it's true that we will be the generation alive when Jesus comes back. Amen? Wouldn't that be awesome? Even so, come now, Lord Jesus. As the Apostle John says at the end of Revelation, man, that is a hope to live for. That is a faith to die in. But even now, come, Lord Jesus. And let's pray and let's go to our small groups. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. I pray that we would have an awesome small group, that it would bear much fruit in our lives, that as iron sharpens iron, that we would have a good talk with one another. And may this just be one of the best small groups of the whole year, I pray, that would help us, prepare us, and kind of keep us going until we resume small groups in January when Ironworks comes back in 2026. Thank you so much for all these men, and may you bless the entire rest of this weekend for us all. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.